Hey, good morning, everyone. Man, it's been a while since I last preached. And so if you've been coming to Harbor in the last few months, you probably have no idea who I am. I'm usually back there in the cave. It's right over there to the right. We have our sound equipment in there that runs for our live stream that we have live on every single Sunday. And so besides that, I oversee our outreach ministries and our discipleship ministries. So things from like our homeless ministry that we had yesterday, it was a good time together, just blessing and hanging out with our homeless friends around this Kaka'ako area. And then also like the community groups that we have meeting throughout the week and the different small groups. I am also married to my beautiful wife. Is she in the room? She's probably downstairs helping out with Keiki. Married to her for 7 years. And you know, something I've been learning throughout the years of marriage is that she really is my better half. And for example, Lasejo loves to eat fruits and veggies. I mean, she eats way healthier than I do. And she eats her fruits and veggies every day, literally every day. I'll eat like a banana every day. I love bananas and sometimes apples, but she'll eat like strawberries, raspberries, grapes, all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, I'll have that maybe once a week in my cereal when it's dried up, you know, that one. But she eats super healthy. And so we're always at Costco loading up on produce. And whenever I go there, for some reason, I'm usually in a rush. I don't know if that happens to you. I feel like actually everybody is kind of in a rush at Costco. And so I'm checking the fruits pretty fast. I'm kind of like flipping it over. Do I see anything? Okay, let's go. And Lasejo loves to get that bag of those little mandarin oranges. You know that bag is called cuties or something? That bag where they fit like 500 of them all stuffed in that one bag. And so there's been times when one of those little mandarins had mold on it. And I didn't get to see it because I'm rushing, I'm moving fast. And then a few days later, you know, sitting on the kitchen counter, and we don't have a lot of kitchen counter space, so we don't spread out our fruits and veggies like you're supposed to. So we kind of keep it in the bag. And one of those pieces of fruit, it starts like spreading its nasty, moldy goo on the other ones. Have you guys ever noticed that? And so by the time you get to the end of the bag, half of them are all spoiled and you feel like you just got ripped off, right? And so that always happens to me with those cuties. Well, as we enter into this morning's conversation about contentment, discontentment is like that moldy piece of fruit. You know, in our life, we're usually going about in a hurry, right? And we have discontentment sometimes in our hearts, and we don't even realize it. And it's just sitting there, and it's starting to spread its nasty, moldy goo onto the different situations in our life, the different relationships. But if we can spot it out early and remove it, then we'll be able to enjoy the things that God's given to us. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning as we look at 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 7 this morning. But before we jump in, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we our lives are often full and busy. We're going about our days and there's things going on in our hearts that we're not often aware of. And so we ask, Father, that this morning you would help us to see. Help us to see where there might be some moldy fruit just sitting in there. God, we don't want that to spread and ruin things in our life that you have given to us as gifts. We pray that you would make us attentive and see how you want to use us in the different situations and circumstances that we're in for your glory and for our good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you guys can open up to 1 Corinthians 7, and we're going to do a few basketball juke moves this morning. And that's because Paul is answering a bunch of different questions that the Corinthians were asking. So we're going to look at topics like our work life. relationships, and also singleness. And then next Sunday, Matt's going to cover marriage, sex, divorce, and other topics. And that's going to be my welcome back gift to him. I'm sure he's going to just enjoy that. So let's jump into all the way to verse 17. Verse 17. And you know, in the previous verses, Paul's been talking to married couples. But now here, he's going to be speaking to everyone. He's going to be using general terms here. So verse 17 reads, "Now let each one live his life in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. This is what I command in all the churches. Was anyone already circumcised when he was called? He should not undo his circumcision. Was anyone called while circumcised, uncircumcised? He should not get circumcised. For circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter. Keeping God's commands is what matters." Verse 20, "Let each of you remain in the situation in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Don't let it concern you. But if you can become free, by all means, take the opportunity. For he who is called by the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called as a free man is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of people. So, brothers and sisters, each person is to remain with God in the situation in which he was called." Now, I don't know if you noticed, but Paul just repeated himself three times in this short section. He keeps telling the Corinthians to stay put. To stay put. In fact, he says to remain in your situation at least eight times in this one chapter. And so staying put seemed to have been a problem for the Corinthians. They probably had discontentment starting to grow and spread itself in their hearts. And so once some type of conflict or friction popped up, they were ready to leave. They were ready on their way out. On to the next place, the next job, the next relationship. And Paul is advising the restless to remain where they're at, to slow down and hit the brakes. And I think this is something that we all struggle with at different times in our life. Maybe there's been some disappointment at your workplace. Maybe there's been friction in your marriage, or with a friend, or with someone in your community group, and you're ready to bounce. You're ready to head on out. Well, Paul's words to remain where you're at might be what you need this morning. And this is because God is always about our growth and our maturity. And that usually happens not in the easy times, but in the difficult times. And so here's the first way we can grow in contentment. Instead of uprooting yourself from the situation, what if you bloomed there? What if you bloomed where you're at? What if instead of leaving, you stayed and added value there? You know, when situations get tough, that's when we want to leave. And we can start to see things in the worst kinds of ways. And when I was a social worker for the state, we would call this catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is when we jump to the worst possible conclusions about a person or a situation. And we begin to see our circumstances as catastrophic. We catastrophize. And so our perception of people and our circumstances get distorted. And what usually happens next is we start planning our escape route. How do we get out of this? It's the fight or flight. But one of the best things that you can do in that moment is not to make any big decisions, but to remain where you're at. Maybe it's waiting it out for a moment. Let your emotions cool. Let things cool down. And there's something that we You know, we often forget in these times. It's something that I often forget when I'm going through difficult situations. And it's this, that God is there. God is there in those situations. God is there in those places. That's what David said in Psalm 23, in that famous psalm. He says to God, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." David says, "You are with me, God." God is there. He's there in this situation. And that's what we need to remember. Another reason you can remain where you're at is because God has uniquely assigned you there. If you look at verse 17, as we just read, it says, "Let each one live his life in the situation the Lord assigned." This means your circumstance is not a coincidence. It's not a mistake, but it's been assigned to you by God. Everything. God is sovereign and in control of every single detail of our life. And many times what he does is, in those situations, instead of leaving, he wants us to add value there for him. He wants you to grow and bear fruit for him there. He wants you to bring life to a place that needs it. Jesus calls us salt and light of the world for a reason. To bring life to this place, to your workplace, to a relationship. Now, Paul's not only addressing the restless, but he's also speaking to the idle. In verse 21, it says, "Were you called while a slave? Don't let it concern you. But if you can become free, by all means, take the opportunity." You know, during the Roman Empire, slavery was a common thing. Some people sold themselves into slavery because of bankruptcy. And so slaves ranged from workers in the field to medical professionals. And there are some who had horrific and cruel masters, but there was also some that had a fair master. And so if they had that, then they had a reasonable lifestyle. Their food, housing, and most basic needs were provided. So for some people, they were fine with being a slave because everything was pretty much taken care of for them. But Paul's telling him that, hey, if they can work and pay their way out of slavery to be free, then they should do it. And they should take that. And that's the second way we grow in contentment. Number two, by looking for God's opportunities. If a good opportunity presents itself, then take it, verse 21 says. But for the idle person, what we'll do is we'll confuse contentment with coasting and just being comfortable in life and kind of just settling. And so each time, say, a new position opens up at work, the idle person will pass it by. Maybe it's because it's going to be a little bit more work. It's going to stretch them outside of their comfort zone. But Paul's saying, if God's provided an opportunity for you, don't pass it by. Don't settle. Don't be afraid to take risks. Because that opportunity is not just meant to bless you, but it's meant to bless others. God wants to use you in ways to serve other people. And so that opportunity is not just for ourselves. Oftentimes, God brings good opportunities in our life for us and to be a blessing to others. And so these are some of the things that Paul wants us to think about for the different situations in our life, and each will require a different response. And now in verse 25, Paul's going to be talking to the singles and their situation. He's writing to those who have never been married, and he's also writing to those who have been through the pains of divorce or the loss of a spouse. And so we're going to look at verse 25. Paul writes, "Now about virgins, that's those who've never been married, I have no command from the Lord, but I do give an opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is faithful. Because of the present distress, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. However, if you do get married, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But such married people will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. And all the married people in the room said, amen, right? There's some truth to that. Drop down to verse 32 and hear more of Paul's heart. He says, I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man, the single man, is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world. That's the daily responsibilities, how he may please his wife. And so his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so that she may be both holy in body and in spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Again, daily responsibilities. Verse 35. I'm saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper, and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Paul's saying when it comes to Christ's mission for his followers, single people have a huge advantage. Huge advantage. And he's speaking here from personal experience. He says the married person has to be concerned about a lot of things, like their spouse, the health of their marriage, the direction of their family, their kids. So much of their capacity is going to be used up, he's saying. And you've probably heard of the word bandwidth used to describe the capacity that someone has or doesn't have, right? And, you know, the Wi-Fi network in my house, man, it's not very fast. I'm not going to mention the company's name. But since we're already at, it's already added onto our association fees, we're basically just stuck with it. And so when our TV is streaming and we got our phones out, laptops, iPads, all these devices out, man, you start to see the Wi-Fi start to slow down. And the reason is, there's a limit to the bandwidth. You see, God has created each of us with a certain amount of bandwidth and capacity. And Paul's saying the reality is that the married person has more people closely connected to them. They have their spouse, and that spouse should require a lot of bandwidth. I mean, if you just take the standard for a husband in Ephesians 5, to love and sacrifice and cherish his wife as Christ did for the church, that's going to take up a lot of bandwidth. Then that same married person probably has a child or two or six, and all of them are connected to them. And that's going to require a lot of bandwidth. And so Paul is telling the single person that you're naturally going to have more bandwidth. You're going to have more margin for the mission. You're going to have more space in your schedule to serve the Lord. And you know what? I've seen many of the single people in our church doing just that. You may not know, but a lot of the ministry that happens throughout the week is through the single people in our church. From our worship, video team, the sound, to our aloha and hospitality and the keiki and youth ministries, there are many singles who are not just spending that extra capacity on themselves, but on loving, reaching, serving others. They're using the season for the things of the Lord, as Paul says. And I know for some, this season of singleness feels like it's never going to end. It just keeps going on and on and on. But I found it interesting that in chapter 7, the same chapter, in verse 7, if you look at verse 7, Paul writes, "Now I wish that all people whereas I am. That's single. But each has his own gift from God. One person has this gift and another has that gift. Paul's talking about the gift of singleness here. And that word gift in verse 7 is the same word in 1 Corinthians 12 where he talks about the spiritual gifts. And that word gift describes this. It's a special empowerment for a spiritual assignment that God gives to a person for a time. Meaning, if you're single right now, then you have the gift. And for some, that could be long-term, but for others, it could be for just a time, for a season. And during this time, God's Spirit is gifting you with the special empowerment to be concerned about the things of the Lord, to steward the time that you have right now. And that's the third way that you can grow in contentment that we see this morning. It's by making the most of God's gift. Making the most of God's gift. And so instead of seeing your singleness as a waiting season, you could see it as a special time to do special things for the Lord. You could meet up with a friend who's maybe interested in learning more about Jesus. Or you could meet up with someone who just needs you to be there, needs that support and care. You could dedicate a weeknight to discipling someone who just got saved. Maybe someone just got saved in your community group, and you can take off on a Thursday night and just dedicate it to them, meeting at some coffee shop and teaching them how to read the Bible. You could use your passions and your gifts to join a ministry team here at Harbor. You could use your passions and gifts to start a new ministry here at Harbor. There's so many things that we want to keep doing through this church family. You know, I heard it said that singleness is the most underestimated season in a believer's life. It's the most underestimated season in a believer's life. And that's because there's so much that God wants to do in you and through you. This is a special, special time. And God's going to give you the special empowerment to do the things that he's called you to do. And so, all of us here are in different seasons, in different situations, as we've seen in this text this morning. And for some, God wants you to remain where you're at, so that you can grow and add value for him there. And then for others, God wants to stretch you to try something new, to take that opportunity, take that step of faith so that you can trust in him more. And for all of us who are either single or married, God wants us to make the most of the gifts that he's given us. And when we do this, we'll find a more fulfilled and content life in Christ. Let's pray right now for God to do this morning. Father, we are in many different seasons and situations, and we thank you for your word that speaks to all of these different places, Lord. And as we sung this morning, that you are perfect in all of your ways. Everything you do is for our good and for your glory. And so I just pray, Lord, for those who are in a difficult situation, and maybe there's that moldy piece of fruit that's been undetected. Lord, I pray if there's discontentment in our hearts, that you would help us to see it, to find it, so that we can experience more life in our workplaces, our marriages, the day-to-day relationships and interactions that we have with the people you placed in our life. I pray for those who you want to stretch and try to new things, to take an opportunity, that opportunity you're going to use to do incredible things through them. I pray you would give them the strength, the courage, and the faith to trust you in this season. God, I pray for the singles, Lord. We pray that you would be with them, that you would comfort them, that you would empower them, that special empowerment that you give to be about kingdom mission, to be about the things that last forever. And that you would empower them, Lord, and you would comfort those. And God, we pray, as marriage is a good thing, we pray for a spouse, Lord. If that is your will, we pray for them. God, we pray that you would do all of this for your good, for our good, and your glory. All of this is in Jesus' name. Amen.